As we wind down our mini-series study on today, looking at egos and how they can work against God's work against us as we try to serve Him, we want to use this opportunity to talk to you about ego and how, again, God must be glorified. That's the thing, the overriding theme that we have in our lives, as it was back then, and it's true even to this day. God must be glorified in all things. In our class today, we talked about the siblings of Moses, Aaron and Miriam. Though Aaron was the first high priest and Miriam was the first prophetess, how their elevated positions did not prevent them from allowing their egos to get in the way of God's work. And as we looked into that study, God had punished them for that. And so we know that that is a no-no when it comes to our ego. We cannot speak to God or do things against God's will, yet He will punish us for that. But Moses was the one that his siblings spoke against. And Moses was a very, very mighty man. You remember in our class how we talked about when God defended Moses against Aaron and Miriam when He called them to the meeting of the tabernacles, and He asked them, "Why weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" A very serious, serious matter that they were faced with. But over in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse number 10, here's what the Bible says about Moses. The Bible says this: "But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." I mean, it doesn't get any closer than that. You see what Moses meant to God. He treated him differently than all the prophets up until that point. God spoke to him, the Bible says, face to face, to let him know. As he said, "Some I've come to in a dream, visions," but not so with Moses. You see, "I have spoken to Moses face to face." It's a very intimate relationship that the Bible is telling us about this man, Moses. Moses was a prophet like no other. Moses was also a man that was uniquely trained in the ways of the Egyptians. Why the Egyptians? Because they were top in that day. Your best education, your best training, all that you needed went through this great country of his time, Egypt. And so we know how God allowed Moses to be raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. Again, taking advantage of all that training, because God knew the day is going to come where Moses is going to lead his people out of Egypt. And so you got to have skills. Anybody just can't do it. And it reminds us once again, when we look at God, God will never send his people out to do a work unprepared. We will always be trained to do his work, you see. And such is the case right here in the life of Moses, as we see. We find in Exodus chapter 3, and the verse is number 11, that Moses was a very reluctant leader. In other words, when God told him what to do, "I'm going to send you to Egypt to lead my people out," Moses said, "Oh no, Lord, surely there's someone else that you can send." And then Moses went down and began to make all these excuses, right? He said, "One, I don't speak well. How can I go and speak to people? I don't speak well." And God says, "Here comes your brother Aaron. He speaks well. He should be your spokesman." Well, Moses went on and said, well, God, when I go down and tell the people that you sent me to lead them out, and they ask me, "What is your name? What should I tell them your name is?" And God very famously said, "I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you." That's who God is. They don't deserve to have a name. Glorify me. I am God. And so Moses, you see, was a very reluctant leader that had to lead these people out of Egypt. Keep in mind now, they had been enslaved for over 400 years. That's a whole lot of generations that was raised to be slaves and slaves only. That's all they knew. That's all their history was, that they were slaves. So now you're going to take a bunch of slaves over 400 years, and now you're going to lead them out of the land of Egypt. It has been estimated that in that group that left Egypt, somewhere I've heard between 1.5 million on up to 10 million. They don't know how many, but any number between that is a lot of people, wouldn't you say? That got to be led out of a place with that mentality to go to a promised land. So you know, as former slaves and their whole mentality and just any sign of trouble, they become discouraged because they're used to being told what to do and when to do it. You see, it's very difficult to lead a people out like that. Even though the numbers itself is daunting, yet they had this mentality as well. Well, because they were children of Israel, because they had suffered by their own doing all those years, over 400 years, it leads to discouragement. It leads to murmuring, right? Bible says they were a stiff-necked people. They often found themselves contending against Moses and Aaron, even contending against God. They were very difficult to lead. Moses was tasked with leading people out that was very rebellious. It's one thing to lead people out that's on the same accord. It's altogether another thing to lead people out who's looking for trouble, looking for a reason to rise up against you. You see, that was the case with Moses. So I often say, when I get to heaven, one of the first people I want to see, sit down and talk to, if God permitted, would be Moses. I want to hear the story of the stories of Moses and just how difficult it was to lead and all those problems and all you had to overcome. Moses was a great man, handpicked by God to do this work. That was not by accident, you see. That's why God trained him in the house of Pharaoh the way he did. You know, endowed him with special skills to do this great work. When we go to Numbers, the chapter is 20. I want to read about Moses, this great man that we just talked about, who God defended against his siblings, who God says, I've spoken to face to face. You know what? Because we are human, and Moses is no different, ego can get the best of any of us. Am I right? Ego can get the best of any of us. And all that he's going through, all the leading that he's trying to do, Moses has been tasked once again with the stiff-necked people. And you know their cry. Their cry went something like this. Moses, we're thirsty. We don't have anything to drink. Did you bring us out of Egypt to bring us out into the wilderness to die? Me, my wife, and our wives, and our children, and our animals? Moses, it's your fault. Did we not tell you to leave us alone while we were in Egypt? Why have you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? Can you imagine the number of people that will speak against you like that? I don't care who you are, that would affect you. So Moses had to deal with that. Moses and Aaron had to deal with that. In other words, they were the point of all this contention. When they were ready to dump, they dumped on Moses and Aaron. And so that's what he was faced with over in Numbers chapter 20. And I want to read to you on this occasion, because this is what happened in Numbers chapter 20, starting at verse number 1. The Bible says, then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us this assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals shall die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Listen, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, listen now, listen at the tone that Moses is giving. Moses is tired. Moses is fed up. And who wouldn't be? Often complaining. And, you know, the object of all these people's things that they will say. He says, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Moses made a great mistake. In his anger, and we can understand that as human beings, right? Who wouldn't be with the amount of people that's attacking you? But regardless of that, God must be glorified at every occasion. Moses, I see that you're upset. I know that they're contending with you. But let me help you to understand, Moses, we're not bringing anything from the rock. I, the great I am, is going to bring water from this rock. What Moses did inadvertently was put him and Aaron on the same level with God. Must we bring water from this rock? No, it should have been, must God bring water from this rock? He didn't say that. He failed to glorify God. Now, somebody might say, well, come on, God, give Moses a break. All those people, they screaming at him, giving him a hard time. He just had a little slippage. You know, he didn't mean to do it. I'll say to you again. Leave God and his business alone. Moses had a chance to glorify God amongst that assembly. These people are looking and complaining. We're about to die. What they needed to hear is that your deliverer is going to be God, the great I am. Your deliverer will not be God, Moses, and Aaron. No, your deliverer is going to be God. And Moses failed to do that. He did not glorify God amongst the people. The Bible says in verse number 11, then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock. He was told to do what to the rock? But he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. See, they had their doubts. That's what happened when people attack you. To hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. When you fail to glorify God, it is always a problem. You know, when things happen to us, whether they're good or bad, we talked about in the first sermon that we gave this morning how we ought to glorify God when good things happen. Am I right? Somebody give us a compliment. We shall say by the grace of God. To God be the glory. Well, guess what? When times are difficult, guess what we should do? Glorify God. That's not the time to turn on God and say, you know, God, well, you know, first sign of trouble. Are you trying to kill me, God? God don't want to hear that from us. But you know what? It's kind of human nature. When we do get down, we tend to turn to God, don't we? When we know that things are out of our hands, there's nothing else we can do. There's no way else to go. The last place to go is the first place we should have gone, to God. Then we turn to God and say, God, we throw our hands up. I can't do this. I can't do this, God. I've been there. Have you been there? I've been there. Life is like that. I've turned to God and said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't. It's out of my hands. I need you. Deliver me. And if it's God's will, he will deliver you. And after he delivers you, how many people go and forget that God delivered them? Right? Remember the 10 lepers? Only one turned back to thank God. Jesus said, what happened to the other nine? See, we get what we want from God. People move on as if God never did it for us. Let's not be that kind of people. He made a mistake by saying, must we bring water from this rock? He failed to glorify God. Now turn over with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And let's look at the result of what God had already told that he and Aaron would not take these children into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting at verse number 48. Moses is now at the end of his life. And what a great servant Moses was. Very few, if any, could have done what Moses did. He served God, but he's a man who made his mistakes just like you and I. He's a man that perhaps, for whatever reason, in anger or whatever, failed to glorify God. Whether it's ego-driven or not, it doesn't matter. God must be glorified in all things. The Bible says at verse number 48, then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up this mountain of Abram, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, view the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Listen now, God is going to give him the reason why he can't go in. Because you trespass against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there into the land which I am given to the children of Israel. God must be glorified at all times. It is not up to you and I to question God about Moses and his failure. But God, can't you understand the circumstances? There are no circumstances when it comes to God when it's time to glorify him. Whether we're happy or sad, joyous or whatever, we need to glorify God. That's the message that we have. God must be glorified. In all things, God must be glorified. We have to understand that we must do this in order to please God. It's a beautiful thing to be a child of God. It's a beautiful thing for people to watch our lives every day. And trust me, they are watching. Your neighbors are watching. Your coworkers are watching. Everybody is watching. You know what they're looking for? For you to make a mistake. For you to, you know, for you to do something where they can say, see, there you go. I told you. And you don't have to make one. You can live your life in such a good manner. Make one mistake, I promise you, somebody is looking. I tell people all the time, you know, even if you live in your neighborhood, I don't care what time it is in the morning. You can walk out 4 o'clock in the morning, in your backyard, pitch dark, somebody is looking at you. I promise you. They just happen to get up like you, peeping out the window. What that crazy AC doing at 4 o'clock in the morning? What are you doing? Somebody is watching you. So we have to understand that and present ourselves as vessels of God. In all things, let God be glorified. Right? To God be the glory. Thank you very much for that compliment. Thank you so much for speaking well of my children. Thank you so much for all that you do. But let me just say this to you. To God be the glory. It's not me. It's God. It's by his grace. Every day that I wake up is by his grace. Nothing happens to me that's good or whatever without God. I need God. And you know what? People need to hear that. And you know, if they think you weird, you ought to think they're weird for not thinking that way. How dare you wake up and breathe God's air, walk on his earth, and not give thanks to him? No, I'm not crazy. You crazy. That's how I look at them. When they look at me, oh, I can't believe you believe in a God. You believe, you mean you don't? I look at them just, you don't? What is wrong with you? Because God is just that great. It's a pleasure. It's a thrill. It's a privilege to honor God, is it not? When we walk and live and people say good things, you're a good neighbor by the grace of God. You're good whatever by the grace of God. Give God the glory. Give God the credit. It's not me. Boy, I can't believe how you did that project. You some kind of project manager. How you do that? How you think about it? God gave me the ability to do it. Don't miss an opportunity to glorify God in everything that we do. Because the reality is this. We cannot do anything without God. Am I right? I mean, we're wise to know that. We're wise to live that. We can do nothing. Nothing without Christ. Everything that we do ought to be Christ-centered. I do what I do because of Christ. I want some soul to see Christ in me. The only way to do that is to glorify God every chance that you get. Now, here's the thing. I know people, you're saying, well, I'm a little uncomfortable. It's not my personality to go around and to say, you know, to God be the glory and all of that. I get that. That's just not my personality. You know what? All you have to do is live it. Just live the life. I can't tell you how many people walked up to me and say, are you a preacher? I have not said anything to these people. You believe in God, don't you? I've not had any action. See, it's the life that you live. It's how you speak. It's how you carry yourself. Are you respectful? I get that, or are you military? Are you in the military? Past military? No, I'm not. Why you say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, because I'm respectful. To God be the glory. I'm a Christian. I meet people sometimes, they say, I've seen you before. You know, I'm from Jacksonville, so there's a good chance I've run in, you know, many people. I've worked at a couple of places, and you know how it is. You just get older and you remember face and all of that. I've seen you before. First thing I say, was that the Arlington Church of Christ? No, it wasn't that. I think we go back to elementary school. I had that happen one time. How can you look at me now and remember? He called my name. I walked in public. He said, AC. We went in third grade together, don't you remember? Either I'm good looking or I'm funny looking. Okay, take your pick. How can you know that? To God be the glory. And so my routine is, if you see me, was it at church? Did we go to school together? I heard. You preach, don't you? I heard. You're a preacher, aren't you? Yes, I am. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Would you come and visit with us? Love to have you. Meet the greatest people I know. Come on by. It's the life that you live that people will see sometime. Moses was a great man who God knew face to face, who God defended to say, don't speak against him. But the moment that Moses failed to glorify God, Moses had an issue. God will be glorified. And if he expects Moses to do it, surely he's going to expect me to do it. I'm nowhere near the man Moses was. Let us glorify God in all that we do, all that we say, all that we live. To God be the glory. It could be that you're here today and you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to be just that. There's no greater thing you can do in your life than to obey Jesus this day. Why? Because it is the pathway that you will have to get to heaven. You cannot get to heaven except through Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The Lord promised to build one church. That's all that he built. I don't care how old that sounds. I don't care how many people say that. I know what you're going to say. I am going to say that because it's the truth. And the day come that I can't say that, I won't be up here because I know what the truth is. That's what Jesus said. My Lord said that. I will build my church. He only promised to build one church. That's it. I don't care how many churches in the world. Jesus only promised to build one. And you have to do things according to his instructions, not yours. Put your ego aside. It's not about you and your ego. It's about Jesus and his word. And the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. How do I become a member of that church? You got to hear the word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Next, you have to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that is reward of them that diligently seek him. Then you need to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you have to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33. He says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then you have to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's what the Bible teaches. On the day of Pentecost, when they stood up and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? We'll put the Son of God to death. Peter gave that answer to them that stands to this day. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 and the verses 38. That's what you have to do. You have to put Christ on in baptism. You must be baptized. It is not a choice. You don't get to choose. You have to do what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. That's from the word of our Lord's mouth, the mouth of our Lord. That's what he said. And therefore, that's what we would do. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you need to remain faithful to the end. Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 10. Be thou faithful unto death. If you're here today and you walk with him and perhaps you have slipped, you want to come back home. Thank God for that. Thank God he gives the avenue to come back to him. James chapter 5, verse 16, tells us to pray one for another, that those prayers will heal us, put us back on the track where we need to be, back on the road, you see, to our Lord. That's what we need to do if we would just do that. Ask God to forgive you, ask the saints to pray along with you. God indeed will forgive you because he is faithful. That's what needs to happen. You see, we can do this because God has made it possible. But we have to check our egos at the door. The ego can get the best of any of us. Prevent it. Have a heart to serve God and to thank God. Be thankful to God. God is worthy to be glorified. There's none like him. We should be happy to say, to God be the glory. All that he has done for us, he has made it possible. If you're here today and you need a prayer, you know someone it is, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.